We're going to be in John chapter 1. John chapter 1 this morning, talking about a countdown to Christ. John chapter 1, a countdown to Christ. John, the writer of the Gospel of John, gives the purpose of his book in chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And he talks about that he wrote his entire gospel so that we might believe in Jesus and have life in his name. That's what it says. So we can take that and say, all right, then every part of the Gospel of John is in some way driving toward and aligning with that focus. So for sure, the introduction to the Gospel of John would be aimed at that, as the whole book is aimed at that. And so we're going to look at verses 1 through 18 briefly this morning. We're going to go through it and talk about little parts of it. The book of John, this introduction to Jesus, and that we might believe in him and have life in his name. So let me read to you this passage, verses 1 through 18. We already were blessed to read a few of these verses in Advent, and it's just great to see everything lining up. This is a classic passage about Christmas and about who Christ is. So please focus and pay attention as we study this passage this morning. Here we go. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Let's pray together. Oh Lord God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this just very important season, or the Christmas season. And Lord, we pray that you would just speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, some of us come in and we are so excited about Christmas tomorrow. We can't wait. Others of us have yet to be able to really stop and get our heart ready for Christmas, or really pause and think about tomorrow and the meaning of this season. But we all have a great need, wherever we are at, to hear from you and to be reminded of who Christ is and what it means to know him. So we pray for that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Countdown to Christ. So we're going to look here at the first couple of verses of John chapter 1. And you can see, if you just look at them with me, and I'm kind of outlining this section or this passage from the standpoint of time. From the standpoint of how long ago are we talking in terms of this countdown to Christ. In the verses 1 through 2, I'll call this point 1, and I'll say it is infinity ago. It is that long ago that verses 1 through 2 are speaking of, infinity ago. So look at these verses. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word already was in the beginning. It continues, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So you can just see as you read this, I know you see the word there, the phrase, it says the Word, and you might be thinking, is that a book? Is that a word on a page? What is talking about here? But you see that it flips to, from saying the Word, it says He. It personifies the Word. The Word is a title. It's a person. In the way that John is speaking of it here, it's talking about Jesus. It definitely is. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. And the Word was with God. That's showing that both Jesus and God the Father are both fully God. It's the mystery of the Trinity. It's amazing. It shows that Jesus was personal when it says He was in the beginning with God. But what it most shows us is that infinity ago, there's Jesus. There is not a time when He was not. And infinity is a big word. We use it at our house. My kids, we like to joke around using the word infinity. It's kind of the you know, arguments over word. Really? I love you this much. No, I love you this much. I love you infinity. Game over. You can't top it. It's the biggest thing. It's the greatest thing. It's infinity. And I think this challenges us as we look at verses 1 through 2. How great is our Jesus? Is He infinity great? Is He that awesome in our lives? And He should be. He is presented that great in the Gospels right at the beginning. Let's continue. And again, kind of this countdown to Christ. First is infinity ago. Now verses 3 through 5, we're at the beginning of time. So we go from eternity, we go from infinity to now we're standing at creation, at the beginning of time, the Garden of Eden, when God said, let there be light. And we all know this was literally 6 days and exactly 6,000 years ago, right? Amen. Come on. I'm just playing. I know there's some controversy about that sometimes. What does that mean? How do you balance science and the Bible? But look, we're not talking about that here. The point is, at the beginning of time, Jesus was there. Look at verse 3. It says, all things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. So, just get this picture and see this vision John has about Jesus. I mean, he says he was there when before time, in the beginning, he didn't get created. He was already there. He's God. He's infinity. Then at the beginning of time, which is really relatively recent compared to infinity, it says he created. He was God's agent of creation. Jesus created all things. Not a thing was created that was not created by Him. He's the creator. He's the life. He's the light of all. So think about this. When I was a kid, if there would be a new house that was being built in our neighborhood, no one would be living there yet, right? It'd be, let's just say the house is being built and there's no grass in the yard. It's all dirt. There's no driveway yet. And there's walls, but you can see through them. It's just sort of the structure is up, the 2x4s. There's no roof yet. Maybe there is a roof, but it's just the framing. There's no actual shingles. It's just being built. And I remember as a kid thinking, no one lives there yet. That house must belong to nobody yet. I'm sure it's fine for me to just go do whatever I want. Let me just walk into that yard. Let me just go inside. Let me climb around. I would be so fun. Let me destroy something right now. Oh, do I like that? Let me take that with me. This is how I reasoned as a kid. It didn't belong to anyone yet. The owner is invisible. They're not here. It's not finished yet. It's being created. I used to think that way. Maybe you can relate. You've maybe done something like that. Now, you grow up and you realize someone owns that for sure. it's maybe just not sold yet. And just because it's not, you know, there's not a sofa in the living room yet, or there's not people sleeping in the beds, it doesn't mean someone doesn't own it. Anyways, the point is this: an invisible owner equals no accountability to a childish way of thinking. But to a mature way of thinking, you understand that's not the case. And we have to understand that just because we weren't there at the beginning of time, just because we weren't there and we didn't see Jesus create the world, we know God's word says it is so. And therefore, we are accountable to our Creator, to Jesus. When you make something, you expect to have control over what you made, to at least be in some form of authority over your creation in a loving way. And so God is the same way. He has created us. He's created the world. He's created Raleigh. He's created your neighborhood. He's created this church building. He's created everything that has been created. And he has claim as the creator over these things. And we are accountable to our Creator. So how much authority does your Jesus have? Does he have Creator claim over your life? This is important. This is the vision of Jesus in the Gospel of John. Let's keep going. So we looked at infinity ago, eternity. Then we looked at, you know, at the beginning of time, when time began, and that's however long ago, when God created. But now let's look at when time changed. When time changed, verses 6 through the end, verse 18, and we're going to break this one down into a couple of points here. But when time changed, we're all going to celebrate New Year's in a week or so, and you know there's going to be this countdown, right? It's going to be this countdown, and you're going to get to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then what happens? Time changes. And everyone's like, yeah, hey, Happy New Year. It's 2018 now. And some of us are going to, you know, that night say, see you next year. Ha, ha, ha. Because we're all aware of the fact that as we count down, time is changing. Well, there is a much more significant countdown and much more significant change in time that took place when Jesus was born. The countdown was the entire Old Testament of prophecies and promises pointing forward toward this Christ. The time change was his birth. It literally became BC, became AD. How significant the birth of Christ was. And so verses 6 through 18 are just talking about that time as we're in this countdown to Christ. And so look at verse 6 through 8. We'll call that the preparation. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. I want you to notice this. There was a man sent from God. Do you see that? That is kind of the job description of a prophet. Okay, man sent from God. So anyone who ever says, yeah, Jesus is a great prophet, say no. John the Baptist was a prophet. He was a man sent from God. It clearly says he was a prophet, but he was not the light. Jesus is more than that. Jesus is much more than a man sent from God. He's the Word of God. He's the life. He's the light. He's everything that we're talking about in this passage. He is God. And so this guy, John the Baptist, he's preparing the way. He has a role to play, and he is playing that along with all of the Old Testament. I'll give you some examples in Genesis 3, 15. Right after Adam and Eve eat the forbidden fruit, we are promised in Genesis 3 that the descendant of the woman will one day crush the head of the serpent. That was the first John the Baptist, preparing the way, making a promise. Isaiah 9, 6, some of us familiar to us, a child is born, a son is given. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, thousands of years before the time of Christ. Micah 5, 2, Bethlehem, from you will come a ruler in Israel whose origins are from Ancient of Days. infinity ago. 1 Peter 1, verse 10 through 11 says in the New Testament that prophets have been searching and researching and looking carefully for thousands of years, trying to determine who would be the Messiah, when he would come, under what circumstances. And we see in Luke 2, the story of Christmas, an angel said, ironically, not to those prophets, but to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." It's really amazing. This is when time changed. This is the preparation. It's really amazing to see how God prepares for his king. It's just a principle, I think. God prepares people for Jesus. God may be preparing you for Jesus. He is at work around you preparing people for Jesus. That is what God does. So we're counting down to Christ. We're looking at when time changed, the preparation. Now look at verses 9 through 13, the confrontation. Look at verse 9. "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." Here comes the confrontation. "He was in the world. The world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own. His own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So it's interesting, with the confrontation, there are different responses to Jesus. You see three here. Which one would you say matches most closely with your response? We have the world. The world was made by him. But for some reason, and we know the reason, doesn't even recognize him. You could say this is just people who are maybe not religious and are lost and just don't care about God at all. Made by him, yet don't recognize him. Then there's his own people. This is the most religious people. This is the people who were waiting for him. But when he came, they did recognize him, but they didn't receive him, it says. This is people who are so religious that they're actually lost as religious people. They're so religious, they can't even accept their Savior. And then there are people, it says, a third way, a third response, people who do receive him. It says, people who believe in his name. These are the children of God who are born by God, born again by God. Wow. Of course, this is the introduction to John. This idea of being born again will be picked up later in John 3 with Nicodemus. All of this stuff in the introduction will be further explained as you go in John. But it's amazing you see the confrontation. Our mission at Fellowship Raleigh, transforming religious and irreligious people through the gospel into passionate disciples of Jesus. It's always this way. The confrontation. Again, looking at the countdown to Christ, the preparation, the confrontation. Now look at this, the last part, the incarnation and revelation. Revelation of God. Incarnation. Let me read these verses, 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus." Verse 18, I think, is a little confusing in the translation we have up on the screen. I'm going to read it to you in the New International Version. Here you go. "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." The incarnation in Revelation. All right, break this down for a second. Incarnation is kind of a fancy word. I don't know if you noticed that, but it is. But it literally means to take on flesh. I mean, you all are familiar with the word carnivore. Maybe you've gone to Chipotle and ordered the carnitas, all right? It's talking about flesh. It's talking about meat. You know, this is teaching us that the Word became flesh. It's really a stunning statement. I mean, who? The Word? Hold on a sec. Back up to verse 1. The Word who was God, who was with God infinity ago? The Word who stood there at the beginning of time and created everything that has been created? The Word who created all the galaxies, who you know, we are just like a planet on the tip of a pencil compared to the galaxies, and He created all of them and spoke them into existence. That Word became flesh? It's a crazy statement. It's a Bible statement. It's a gospel statement. So to take on flesh, incarnation, I mean, think about how powerful this is. You know, I was thinking about examples to explain taking on flesh. I was thinking about how sometimes my kids will get out all their play food and they will set up a big feast. Say, Dad, come to our feast. And I say, all right, cool. And they've got the table set, the silverware, the napkins, the cups. You know, this is more than a pretend tea party, which I do have a lot of those. This is a feast. And you'll be sitting there, Dad, eat your food. All right. You'll grab that fake little chicken wing, you know, and you'll eat it. Now, you can't eat. You don't want to eat. This is actually a wood one. Here, I'll show you, Richard. Just check that out right there. What if I offered you that? What if I said, hey, let's go to lunch after church today, and I gave you that? Would that fill you up? No, you wouldn't even want to bite it. You would break something. Yeah, it's, but you still can pretend, right? So what do? You just eat the air. It's so good. Just eating the air right now. all right, what is incarnation? So my point is this. That would not actually satisfy. That would not actually be filling me up. That's not meat. That's pretend. That's air. And yet Christ has come, and He has really become flesh so that He can pay the penalty for our sin, those of us who are made in the flesh, which is all of us. It's not air. It's not pretend. It's real. That's why the incarnation is so important. The Word became flesh. Not a lesser being or angel became flesh. That's a heresy that was condemned in 324 at the Council of Nicaea. Not the Word came in the mode of flesh or put on flesh as a disguise over His true self. That's a heresy that was condemned in 381 in Constantinople. These are wrong teachings. The Word became flesh. That's powerful. I used to really like watching Superman. And, you know, Superman, some of my favorite parts of Superman are actually before he becomes Superman. Just seeing him like when he was like a kid. You know, he's like in high school. Clark Kent, you know, varsity lettering football player. It's like amazing, you know. No one really knows he's Superman yet. He hadn't really like matured into like superhero identity. And no one's made him a cape and a costume yet, but he's just Clark. And, you know, I remember, I don't know which one of the movies it was, but they won like the state championship. He broke like all the records. You know, you see him like they hand the ball off to him. He just like flies through everybody. He doesn't fly because then they'll know, you know. But he just runs so fast, scores touchdowns every time he gets the ball. I loved it. It was great. But the thing is that, you know, that's not fair. That's actually not fair. You're an alien. You're just disguised as a human playing on a human team, but you really can't do that. Give us the trophy back. You actually have to be a human to play on a human team and lead them to a human state championship. And unfortunately, for all the players on the Aliens team that were excited and won the championship with him, they have to give their trophies back too. Because they cheated. And it's, again, it's like, this is the thing. Jesus, the Word of God, became flesh. In the manger, baby Jesus is fully God and fully man, such that he can represent God to us, and he can stand in our place and represent us before God. And he can live a sinless life. He can do his ministry for 3 years. He can go to the cross. He can pay a sinner's death as a man. He can die for men and women. He can lead our team. And it counts because he became flesh. See, it's amazing. It says he's full of grace and truth. And this is just picking up on Exodus 32 through 34. Moses encounters God and he learns about God, that God is full of grace and truth. And what this is saying to us is that this is the God that Moses encountered, who is full of grace and truth, Jesus. Full of grace, he will forgive our sins. He will give us what we don't deserve. He will give us salvation. He will give us forgiveness. He will give us eternal life. But full of truth, he will call us sinners. He will hold us accountable. He will expect us to be saved by the salvation he offers. He's full of grace and truth. And we see that in the cross, where grace and truth fully meet at the cross of Christ, where Jesus goes there so gracefully, yet has to die for our sins so truthfully. So we've been looking at this countdown to Christ. We started with infinity ago, and that's amazing. We looked at when time began at the beginning of creation. There's Jesus. There he is creating. And we looked at when time changed. And no wonder time changed. Look at how significant that was. The preparation for it, the confrontation it creates, and the incarnation and the revelation that it is of God to us through Christ. And so I'll just close with some questions, some application questions. And then I will pray and we'll sing one more song. But I hope we'll continue to ask questions and apply these great truths. First question is this: how infinite is your Jesus? Is he this Jesus? From verses 1 and 2, the Word was with God. The Word was God. How much claim does Jesus have over your life? Does he have creator claim? Does he have claim over all of you? We were bought with a price, so honor God with our bodies. Are we continuing to respond to Jesus by faith? We saw that the world was made by him but didn't recognize him. We saw that the religious people, his own people, they recognized him but rejected him. Are we continuing to respond by receiving him? By receiving what he offers us as what's best for us and walking by faith in him and living out our identity as what? It's right there in verse 12. As children of God. Those who have received him have been given the right to be called the children of God. We are not orphans in the gospel. And we are not to behave that way. We are children. We have a heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us. And who has prepared an amazing salvation for us. Which is why the countdown to Christ is so important. So let's remember that. Remember who the Word truly is, and let's respond to him with worship together this Christmas. Let's pray together. The band to come back up. Jesus, we thank you for your encouragement and for your Word, the Bible, which is just so encouraging and helpful and We just get to see the truth that's there, and we would never come up with it on our own, but it's such a joy and such a lifelong journey to learn, think about who you are. Lord, we pray that our view of who Jesus is would just shoot through the roof today. We would lay our small Jesuses down and leave them here. You are our creator. You have claim over all of Raleigh, over all of our lives, over every step that we take, our future, our finances, our church, our families, our everything. And you are Savior. And you are the only true Savior. We thank you for coming. We thank you for becoming flesh, that we might be saved. Jesus, we pray in your name.